You're listening to LawPod UK. It's a podcast that covers developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. It's brought to you by the barristers at One Crown Office Row, and this edition is presented by Rosalind English.
We've talked about artificial intelligence before on LawPod UK, several times in fact, but we haven't really got into the weeds of its potential practical application to the law. This is what I'll be exploring with Emily Foges, Chief Executive Officer of Luminance, a company that's brought machine learning to the legal industry. Their system combines pattern recognition technology with supervised and unsupervised machine learning to read and understand human language to support lawyers in litigation and, of course, all other endeavours. Emily, many thanks for coming on to LawPod UK.
Thank you. No, it's great to talk to you.
Can you just talk us through how Luminance came about?
Back in 2015, our technology team, the kind of core of our technology team, they had completed PhD research at Cambridge University, where what they were really interested in was the ability of computers, which is developing, which is to read and understand human language and learn from the interaction with people to get better at understanding what that language means. They developed this technology and we started to talk to them in 2016 about a potential application for the legal profession. So really, this just started with the capability of the technology and then moved into law being the real life application, which made the most sense to apply it. And in 2016, we started to work with Slaughter & May, who said that they would like to start by applying that technology to due diligence, because that's one of the areas where they feel as if their trainees and their junior associates within the firm are having to do such repetitive, boring work that it doesn't make sense anymore for the firm or for the clients for it to carry on in the same vein. So we started out by launching this due diligence platform, which we did in collaboration with Slaughter & May. So they were our beta customer and helped us to develop that and build it into their workflows. And then we very quickly found that actually the results were quite incredible, that the lawyers could accelerate the work they were doing by 100% straight off the bat. So without any setup or preparation, they were 100% faster using Luminance than they were without. So we knew at that point that we were onto something really, really big. And then after that, it then became kind of, we then started to roll that out to law firms all around the world and then moved on to litigation with our discovery version of the platform, which is now gathering a lot of pace as well.
This is probably where we're going to focus our discussion on discovery and in litigation, because I can imagine that the heavy lifting in discovery, which used to be done by junior associates and so on, will be done more thoroughly and much faster by artificial intelligence. Is that correct?
Well, by humans using artificial intelligence to support them, I think that's one of the things that we're most passionate about, really, is that the machine should not be drawing any conclusions or sort of doing the work, but the machine is supporting the lawyers so that they can do their work more effectively and make the most of the resources that they've got. And I think that's a really important shift in the thinking around how you use AI as a lawyer. From Luminance's perspective, we think that the lawyer should always be right at the heart of the process and really, doing all of the thinking and doing all of the work.
Can you give us an example of some overworked litigator receiving boxes and boxes of paper and applying your system to it?
Right. So obviously, if the paper is in boxes, then the machine can't really do anything with it. So it would need to be scanned in. And then once you've got digital copies of all of the documents, it doesn't matter what format they're in. Luminance will look at all of the patterns in language in those documents and compare them and find standards and deviations in those patterns. But it'll do that without any understanding at that point of what those patterns might mean. That's really for the lawyer to determine, what the importance of those patterns are. But once you understand where all the repeating patterns are and also where the kind of cross-references are and where, the same things crop up in lots of different places, then the lawyer can then start their work of actually looking at those documents, but looking at them in the context of the full set. So if you imagine that you're looking at something like a contract, and you can see in that contract that there's a really problematic clause that gets really to the heart of the matter, if you know already that that's unique, or that that exists in 500 different places, or that there's a subtle variant of it in another 300 places. That massively accelerates your work, but it doesn't mean that the machine is drawing any conclusions for you. It means that you're drawing them yourself much better. The same thing would apply with emails or communications, corporate communications or board minutes. You know, it doesn't really matter what the language is. As long as it's language, Luminance can do that work.
So essentially, the Laura is still in charge, but Luminance is picking out these essential differences between the documents that the Laura can then focus on.
Yes. And obviously, you know, everyone's familiar with standard things like keyword search. So, you know, once you've got Luminance looking at the documents, if you search for a particular word because you know that that's likely to lead you to some interesting conclusions, you find it all over the place, but you also find all the different contexts in which it exists. It's very powerful.
We talked before we recorded this podcast about predicting outcomes, and using precedent in terms of predicting outcomes is not terribly useful in a changing world. Can you expand on that a bit in relation to artificial intelligence?
I think that's one of the things that worries us when you look at things like Lex Machina and some of those tools which look at precedent in order to predict what might happen in a particular case. I think there's a problem with always looking back. You know, the world moves on. We were just talking the other day about Me Too clauses, which didn't exist 2 years ago, but are now becoming relatively common things in employment contracts or in due diligence as well. So if you were to use precedents to determine the outcome of a trial or to try and predict that, all of those precedents will be from a different time. Maybe that time is quite recent or maybe it's longer ago. But to make any kind of decision based on something that a computer gives you like that, I think seems like a very dangerous thing to do. So what do you do about that? In my view, I think it's very interesting looking at the way the financial services industry has gone about regulation since the financial crisis. They came up with some very simple principles, the Financial Conduct Authority, when they first set themselves up, by which financial institutions should govern themselves. And the first one was to treat your customer fairly. And so that seems very broad. But what it really means is, you know, you need to be able to prove to the FCA that all of your processes are designed to make sure that your customer has all the information they need at any given point when they make a decision. And then the second one, which is more pertinent here, is the idea of the responsible individual, that in any process, there must be a person who is responsible for the decisions that are made. And that person cannot blame the machine. If something goes wrong, the person can't say it's the machine's fault because the person chose to have the machine involved. So I think regulating the people rather than regulating the machines means that nobody should ever be handing over control to a machine when you're running a process that's as important as that. And I think that applies in litigation at least as much as it applies in financial services.
And that brings us to what is called in this context the black box problem, that you don't know how the computer has reached a decision and therefore you can't be accountable for that. How have you dealt with that?
I think that's really, really important. And at every step, when we're designing the product, we're constantly looking at it with that design principle in mind, which is, are we taking the lawyer away from the text that they're supposed to be reviewing? If at any stage we feel as though the lawyer is not in full control and can't see the full context of what they're supposed to be doing, then the design is wrong. That's a software design fault. So I think black box technology is flawed design. It's not inevitable that just because you're using AI, you should have to rely on a black box, cross your fingers and hope that it's doing everything that you want it to do. You know, if you think about it, that doesn't make sense that anyone should ever accept that. And I think a lot of the conversations that are going on around the regulation of AI assume a black box. And I think that the answer is to assume that a black box is old technology. So when you look at something like data extraction, so there are lots of legal software products on the market which will promise to extract information from documents for you. And that's a problem for me. If you're extracting the information out of the document, you're no longer reviewing the whole document. The machine doesn't know what else is important in that document. And so it's going to miss things that you would spot. Therefore, don't relinquish control. Don't use extraction technology. And I think that's something that the legal profession really needs to get to grips with.
How does this technology learn from you? You said that as you use your technology, it'll get faster because it'll learn Say you are an individual litigator of a certain character, it's going to learn your approach and become more like you. Can you explain it in real layman's terms?
Yes. So I talked earlier about the patterns in the language. So the patterns mean nothing to the computer without interaction with a lawyer. So then when a lawyer looks at that pattern in language, and let's say that that pattern is a particular sentence that's written in a particular way, that means something to the lawyer in that context. The lawyer then can label that sentence or that pattern in language or that paragraph or whatever it is, and label it and put a meaning onto that label. A classic example in a contractual sense would be a change of control clause. You know, this paragraph here indicates change of control. By putting that label on one example and then Luminance coming back and saying, okay, well, I can see some similar patterns in language which semantically look as though maybe they mean the same thing, then the lawyer then interacts by saying, yes, this one does, but this one doesn't. That enables the machine to then build its own rules to predict the presence of that concept in future documents. So it's very, very similar. And this is really the core of the technology. This is really the heart of that PhD research, which was the way that humans learn is not by being given rules. So humans don't learn by being told, you know, if the sentence contains the following words in the following order, then it will mean X, because it pretty much never does. You'd have to build a hugely comprehensive set of rules to catch every single version, and even then you'd probably fail. The way that humans learn is, you know, you show them one example and then they get a bit of an idea. Then you show them another example and then that firms up the idea. And then the human comes back and says, what about this one? And I think it's very much how you would work with a junior lawyer who's shadowing you on a case. Does this look like it's relevant? Does this look like this needs to be privileged, this documentation? And then, you know, you would say yes or no. And then they would start to understand in that way. So there's that interaction between the computer and the lawyer is really, really important here.
And as this interaction proceeds, the computer presumably gets faster.
Absolutely. And we've seen incredible acceleration of speed in lawyers who are using this technology for that reason. Because it's still them. It's still them doing their work. You know, we had this employment case in Germany recently where there was a bunch of German lawyers working in German in Luminance. And Luminance has never been taught to speak German before. But because it was finding the patterns in the language and the things that are highlighting to them, the things that matter to them, you know, they're interacting with it and saying, oh, this is important. Oh, well, if that's important, then what about these 50 things that I can see in these other documents, which all look as if they mean the same thing? We saw incredible acceleration of speeds. I mean, you know, thousands of percentage points acceleration. That's a really big thing, I think, for the legal profession. You know, when we're going down the route at the moment of taking a sample and assuming that that's representative of the whole, because that's the only way that you can possibly tackle the job, something's obviously got to be done, and this is the answer.
How are you dealing with the question of security?
So obviously that's really, really important. And it's one of the first things that we tackled. So right back at the beginning, when we were really a very early stage company, we invested a lot of time and effort into this. So we have ISO 27001 accreditation. We have multiple different independent penetration tests that go on a regular cycle. And we have security advisors that we hire to scrutinize all of our practices and make sure that we are not putting anyone in any danger of any kind of breach at any point in time. And actually what I've come to learn through that process is, it's very interesting. You look at the way that data is treated today, and storing data in this way is so much more secure than boxes of papers sitting in an office.
Yes, sure.
You know, I think there are still some lawyers out there who feel as though, you know, a hard copy is more within their control, but that's absolutely not the case. And I think with the right technology in place, you can have a very rigorous audit trail of every single person who has looked at that document or interacted with it, and restrict access and all of those things. And the technology has come a long way.
And I might just play devil's advocate and say, well, this is all very well, but how are junior lawyers going to learn the job if the computer's doing all the work that they used to do?
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it's one that we get asked that quite often, and I think it's a genuine concern for a lot of people in the profession. But actually what we're seeing is that lawyers working with Luminance are learning faster because they are still looking at those documents, but they understand them in context. So every document they look at, they understand it in the context of the whole case. They understand how normal it is or how standard it is. And so actually their learning is building up faster, just as the machine is learning faster. I think bright young lawyers don't need to see the same thing 1,000 times over to learn how to recognise it. And this technology really supports their learning and growth through helping them to be exposed to more information, more examples, more quickly.
It enables lawyers to get a grip on things earlier, is what you're saying.
Yeah, get a grip on them earlier and see more. Because I think, you know, on day one of a case, you would have a better understanding, typically using Luminance, than you would by the end if you were doing a traditional manual review. You don't get snowblind in the same way by, you know, reviewing like endless repetitive documents and trying to sort of scour through particular keywords. And I was talking to a lawyer in New York recently who said, you know, when I said to her, how would you have done this piece of work without our technology? And she said, I would have just had to go through every contract one at a time and do control F, control F, control F on particular keywords until I found them. And she said, the problem is then I can't see the wood for the trees anymore. I don't really know what I'm looking for. I'm just being a robot.
Yes.
Ironically.
Do you foresee this technology being used in actual judicial decision making?
I don't know. It's an interesting question, isn't it? I can imagine that that might be something that happens. I mean, at the moment, we're very much focused on litigation teams and corporate teams who are having to just review those massive boxes of documentation that you talked about. But I can imagine there being applications for that in the future, yes.
Repetitive cognitive tasks have to be done by judges of all sorts as well as lawyers.
I think we are really at the dawning of a new era for the legal profession. I think the future is very bright. I think when we first started this journey, we had a lot of very worried lawyers saying, you know, this feels like the robots are finally coming to take our jobs and we need to look elsewhere. And I think everyone's understood now that that's really not the case, that with technology like this, there is potential for legal expertise to be more widely distributed. We could be in a situation in a few years' time where you no longer have the concentration of legal brains focused on the problems of the richest people with the most, with the access to the most resources. And actually, there could be implications for access to justice. And I think that's very exciting.
Well, that's a very optimistic note on which to end. Thank you very much for explaining this quite difficult concept to us. And let's hope that your predictions are borne out.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and is produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast and recommend us to a friend.